G-PG, PG-13R. For years, the Motion Picture Association rating system has helped families navigate movie content. But does it actually help Christian families? Today, we're diving into the purpose of movie ratings. Bit of fun lesson along the way, a little history, and how these ratings can help when it comes to letting you know how many cusses or naked people or gross murders are in a movie, but how they can probably come up short when it comes to whether or not a movie lines up with a Christian worldview. Today on Rocket Pop Reviews, we're rating the rating system. Let's go.
Rocket.
Welcome to Rocket Pop Reviews, giving Christian families a reliable source for reviews of movies, shows, books, and podcasts.
Every four computers now have primary control of critical vehicle functions.
We're serious about the fun of entertainment.
Nice to be in orbit.
Roger, 0G, and I feel fine.
And now your hosts, Steve Manuel and Jeff Davenport.
This is exciting. We're talking about the ratings. The rating system is when movies are released into the public in theaters. And it's when you see like, oh, this movie is G or PG, PG-13, R, or gasp, NC-17, or even unrated. Lots of us have used these as some sort of guideline for choices. And it helps us kind of know what kind of content we're in for. I assume when you watch a movie, you at least give a glance at the rating. Is that fair?
Definitely. It puts it in a category in your mind. You have some kind of reference for, is this the kind of thing I'm going to see on a date night? Usually these days, if something gets an R rating, maybe you'll tell us this. It seems like R has become wider and wider as what can fit in there. So these days, if I think it's an R, I think probably not something that we're going to watch on a date night. And then you remember back when G meant Herbie Goes Bananas and you thought, well, that's the safest, wonderfulest thing that can possibly be for humankind. So yeah, it gives you a grid.
A grid. Yeah. I think that's it. As a kid, I just remember always going, well, what's it rated? I remember I get excited about a movie and would be nervous about what it'd be rated. Oh, don't be R.
Right.
Like, don't be something I can't see. Or, you get a movie from Blockbuster and you're going to watch it with your parents. And you're like, wait, what's this rated? Am I about to get real embarrassed here in front of my folks? So it gives you some sort of guideline. I hope this is kind of fun. I'm a movie history guy. So I want to give you a little bit of a history of the rating system. Hopefully this is interesting. When movies first came along and they started projecting them for the public, it was the Wild West. Like, you could kind of show anything. Now, if you showed something really crazy, people would be like, they would get, up in arms, they'd burn the theater down. And so anyway, they came a point where Hollywood decided, we need to have some sort of guidelines. We need to have a stamp of approval before a movie gets shown in the big distribution houses, the United Artists Theaters or whatever it is. So in the early 1930s, they started something called the Hays Code. The Hays Code is basically the precursor for what we know nowadays by the MPA, the Motion Picture Association of America, their rating system. It was started by William Hays. He was the first head of it. He used to be the Postmaster General. He led this thing. And there were three core principles to the Hays Code. So tell me how this sounds to you. Back then, they said, okay, these are the three things that we are looking out for. Number one, no picture. I love when you call a movie a picture.
Sure.
I used to know old Hollywood people who say, sure, oh, I really enjoyed that picture. That's such a good old-timey phrase. No picture shall be produced that will lower the moral standards of those who see it. Now, right
there,
cool. Stephen. I know. I knew I'd read this list and you would start to
salivate
a little. Yes. Yeah. So no picture shall be produced that will lower the moral standards of those who see it. Number two, correct standards of life shall be presented on the screen, subject only to necessary dramatic context. So they're not saying everyone needs to be a saint, but they're saying there needs to be some sort of drive towards what's right.
Right.
And with that, number three, law, natural or human, which right there, how dated is that in a wonderful way?
To assume there is a natural law at all.
Yes. What he's saying is law, God's law or law as humans have come up with, shall not be ridiculed, nor shall sympathy be created for its violation.
Wow.
So what would happen is you'd get a gangster movie, and the Hayes people would be reviewing the movie, reading the script beforehand, watching it and going, okay, this guy's a bad guy. This guy's a bad guy. But what they're thinking the whole time is at the end of this movie, that guy better be dead by gunshot, electric chair, or ostracized by his community. If he walks away scot-free, we can't have that.
Right. Well, what's built into this code you're describing is a concern that a 12, 13-year-old boy would see a movie about gangsters and think to himself, that sounds attractive to me. That's something I would want. And there's such moral responsibility in the Hays Code that they would say, we mustn't make evil attractive. I think that is so heartwarming to me. We talked recently, we reviewed the movie Wicked, and we talked about the fact that when you make a bad character, the bad guy, sympathetic, you're doing the opposite of what the Hays Code recommended, which is we must never give sympathy to bad characters. It's like something from another universe.
Yes. I think the Hays Code probably would have liked it if a little boy was watching, who's that guy? Edward G. Robinson in the old gangster movie and admired him until the end. And then the kid went, oh, no, I was wrong. Like, that would be a terrible life. That's awful.
Yeah.
I love this idea. So with that came the idea that, under those three big banners, no profanity, no nudity or suggestive dancing, sexual relationships outside of marriage, we're not having that. Detailed depictions of crime or even how to commit them. So we're not going to see how to crack a safe. Extreme violence or gruesomeness, obviously. No ridicule of religion or clergy members. They can't be villains. No excessive kissing or passion. Kiss had to be brief and modest. Couldn't glorify drinking or drug use. And mocking marriage was not allowed or making it seem trivial. I'm just crazy. So the Hays Code.
It sounds like Abraham from the Bible wrote the Hays Code.
Well, maybe it came down on a tablet.
Maybe. It sounds amazing. These sound like wonderful people.
So the Hays Code was enforced really because they held the keys to the kingdom. If a movie didn't get the Hays Code stamp of approval, then it couldn't be shown in theaters. So if they didn't get the Hays Code stamp of approval, they would have to go back and undergo edits, or it couldn't be shown in theaters. So everybody was like, we're not going to do that. What Hollywood people started to do though is they would find these workarounds, and they would make some symbolism in there or innuendo that might imply these things that they weren't allowed to show, or some sort of clever dialogue that would get this idea. Or this seems fair enough before something like that the couple is about, they would fade to black and you'd go, I get it. Right. I get it. That kind of thing. For instance, in Casablanca, there's an affair. Rick and Ilsa are having an affair. And I love this movie. I think it's a great movie. But they don't show it. There's nothing explicit there. So they would go, we want to tell the story. So we're going to imply it, but we don't need to show these things. Even in a big famous film noir called Double Indemnity, which is about a murder. The murder plot unfolds without seeing the killing on screen. And by the way, Double Indemnity is a great example of a movie where things are like, oh, this seems really dire. Well, it's all going to turn out moral in the end. The bad guy's going to get it. Even Some Like It Hot, which is a movie about cross-dressing, some sexual humor, it pushed the limits of what the code allowed. And again, the code wasn't like, look, we have an exact standard. It was, I hate to use this quote because it's used so often, but when the Senate was talking about pornography back in the 80s, a senator was asked to define it. And why was that different than just an artistic image of a nude? And he said, the way I define pornography is this, I know it when I see it. And there was a bit of that with the Hays Code. Look, I know what's wrong when I see it. So that was the Hays Code. towards the 50s and 60s, the Hays Code started to lose its power, and it was lost its power because these very, I guess you'd call big, important foreign films were coming into America to be shown to larger audiences, and they didn't have the Hays Code over in Italy, for instance. So when Fellini made his movie La Dolce Vita, there was stuff there that the Hays Code wouldn't approve of, but American audiences in art houses wanted to see this. So movies were able to be shown without the Hays Code approval. Sexual norms, social norms were obviously shifting, and Hollywood was embracing just riskier content because they also knew that riskier content intrigued, dare I say, titillated the public, so they'd want to go see those things. And then there were court rulings around the First Amendment that started to break down some of this. And by 1968, that's a big watershed moment in the history of ratings. You'll need to remember this for the test on Friday. Okay. By 1968, Hollywood finally scrapped the Hays Code, but they knew they needed something different to replace it. And so instead of this Hays Code, they came up with, and it'll sound like this isn't a wholesale change, but they came up with the MPA, at the time, the MPAA film rating system. So the Hays Code was either yes or no. Yes, right. We approve this movie. No, we don't approve this movie. And I appreciate the fact that they went, well, let's have some gradations here. And so with 1968, under the leadership of Jack Valenti, very famous guy in Hollywood, they created a quote-unquote, I'll use the old, we call it in our house, scratch a ghost, voluntary rating system, which wasn't really voluntary because your movie wasn't going to get a wide release if you didn't get the MPAA rating. The original ratings were G, M, R, and X. And M at the time was basically what became PG in 1972. So you had G, general audience. And these are the rating systems that we know. General audiences. G, if a movie got and gets today general audiences, it means it's suitable for all ages. No content is going to offend parents if viewed by young children. No strong language, no nudity, no drug use, no intense violence. That's G. PG, parental guidance suggested. Some material may not be suitable for younger children. Now, this is pretty vague here. May contain mild language, I would say kind of very base curses that you might hear on television early in the night. Some violence. And no drug use. Parents are encouraged to determine if it's appropriate for their kids. For a long time, from 1968 until 1984, PG was this giant band. It was right. Huge. And you and I remember in the 80s watching movies that were PG that would have nudity in them.
Yes.
You'd be like watching this movie with your folks and then, there's right. That.
It strikes me, Jeff, that 1968 is when these changes were made. Such an important a few years there at the end of the 60s. That's when No Fault Divorce happened. Mm-hmm. That's when the sexual revolution was happening. That's when feminism was taking hold in American culture. There was a breaking down of so many, hey, we don't want to serve the old guard values. We want to let's start to screw with things. And so now we start to get movies that are made specifically to, we want to show things that wouldn't be considered wholesome. We want to show things that, I mean, I remember, this is so crazy. I remember Kramer versus Kramer coming out as a child and like, they're going to show you a divorce happening to a family on the screen. And everybody was like, you're going to show what on the screen? And they're going to treat it sympathetically. Like, man, this is hard, but this is what happens. And there's no judgment for the divorce happening. You're just going to watch it happen. Those kind of moral changes happening in movies, unheard of for the previous 50 years. And suddenly it's happening with this rating system.
Yeah, it was definitely a watershed period in American history in terms of culture. So PG lasted from 68 to 84, just as, I mean, it was a wild blue yarn. It was like the dumping ground for a movie. They knew if it was going to be R, but this PG thing was big. And then a big movie came out in 1984. So you know what movie it was?
that created the problem?
Yes, that forced the issue.
Was it Gremlins?
That was one of them. I would say Gremlins to some degree. Gremlins was this sort of dark comedy movie that was clearly aimed at children about these little monsters. And it's like kind of funny and a little daring and a little thriller-like. But there were some gross moments in it where they put like a gremlin in a microwave and the thing explodes.
Yeah, and scary.
People were coming out of that movie going, I'm not sure that was altogether great for my kids.
Can I make another guess if it wasn't Gremlins you're looking
for? I bet you'll get it.
What, is it Temple of Doom?
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Yes. Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Doom was the second of the Indiana Jones movies. Now, I would actually dare say that Raiders of the Lost Ark, I remember seeing that when I was a kid, and I remember going, this is too much for me.
Nightmares. Like,
a little bit. I mean, you got melting faces and you got exploding heads. That end there is, it is a rough movie.
A dude getting chopped up in an airplane propeller.
Yeah. So I'm surprised it actually didn't kick off with Raiders. For some reason, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, Spielberg wanted to go very dark. It's funny. Some of that movie is very light. It's very silly compared to Raiders of the Lost Ark, but some of it is incredibly dark. There are these human sacrifices, and there is this, forgive me, I'll get gross here, but there's this intense moment in the movie where this guy is about to be sacrificed to this demon god Kali, and the priest of Kali takes his hand and sticks it inside of the man's chest while the guy's still alive, pulls out his beating heart, shows it to the guy, and it erupts in flames, and the guy's watching. It's gross. It's not cute. It's not funny. It's not necessary.
No.
It's just gross.
Yes.
And so this movie was a massive hit. And yet people went out going, we needed to be warned about that. We need to be warned about that. To his credit, Spielberg, who obviously had a lot of pull and truck in Hollywood, said, they're right. There needs to be something else. And well, so as of 1984, because of Temple and...
Let's remember that all the way back in like 1975, Jaws is getting a PG rating where like a guy's getting eaten alive by a shark while he's spitting out blood.
Yes.
So those are the kind of things that were being folded into the PG rating because there was no alternative.
Yeah. Yeah. So they decided to come up with the, which by the way, I don't know why, this is just me, since 84, I've never liked PG-13. Like, don't give me an add-on to give me something different. I don't know what it is. I feel like it was a first draft name, and they didn't really think beyond it. Anyway, that's my brand.
Good point. It seems too specific. I always thought to put a number on that.
Yeah.
And to go, well, if you're this age, you can handle this. And I'm thinking, that is not a good reference point for whether something is handleable by a human being or not. It should be something like, it should be mature, or it should be adult, you know, something in that realm.
Yeah. It makes me think of my two daughters. They're 12 and 10. I think what my oldest daughter, when she was 10, can handle is actually different from what my 10-year-old can handle at that age. And this is one of the things we do as parents is we gauge our kids and go, what's their level of sensitivity about this? How do they have a better, stronger Christian worldview with which they can chew stuff up and spit it out, or stuff's gonna get stuck? So PG-13 came along, and that means this: some material, how vague is this? Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13. It includes stronger language, extended violence, suggestive themes, or brief drug use. Usually no, what they would say, persistent harsh language, or it says sexually explicit content, but I would say, again, that's a gray line. The guideline that I always stick with is PG-13 generally means they can say the F-bomb once, and I'll let you understand this as you will, but it can't be used in a sexual sense. So one F-bomb, more than one, pushes that movie. It's like it just immediately jacks it up into the R-rated territory.
Yeah, so the use of profanity, I think we would say profanity in general, is that it's an explosive moment. If it's the wallpaper of the world of these people, that you're out. That's not PG-13. if it's the world of The Sopranos, if it's the world of Casino, that's not PG-13. It's one time in the movie somebody goes crazy and uses the worst word that we have that we can put on screen. There it is.
And I'll say this, a little behind the scenes thing, is as movies are being written, they're keeping these things in mind. They're not just arbitrarily putting in whatever. The studio at least is going, hey, look, you've got three F's. If we can get it down to one, we're going to have a wider audience. Or look, if you're going to have three, have 100. If we're going for it, let's just go for it and make it that kind of movie.
Or correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, there were movies made specifically, I'm thinking of late 80s, 90s, where they wanted the PG-13 rating. And so they would insert things to take it out of PG world so that people wouldn't think, oh, that's a little kid's movie. They want teenagers to see this movie. And a lot of teenagers aren't going to watch it if it's PG rating. So they want the PG-13 rating.
It's funny. PG was sort of the death mark for some movies.
Right.
Like, oh gosh, well now we got it. Yeah. And so they'd go in and juice it a little. So you've got G, PG, PG-13, and then there's R. R means restricted to viewers 17 and older, unless accompanied by a parent or guardian. Stephen, I may blow your mind here. I may surprise you. I worked at a theater in high school. I was one of the ushers. I kept an eye on things.
You were part of the movie making industry.
I hate to say, I was part of the machine.
Okay. Yeah, I got it.
I'll confess to you. We didn't really enforce this.
If somebody had bought a ticket to an R movie, they get in.
I didn't really ask, where are your parents? I'm sorry for that. Look, I just repent.
Yeah.
Not necessarily pornographic content, but often it could have something leading to that. That's restricted, constrained, strong language, intense violence, some sexual content, drug use. Theaters are supposed to enforce that age restriction. So that's R. We'll unpack a little more on these here in a second. And then there was always X. And X was, gross, weird, the dirty movie house. Well, what started to happen, this was, I believe, in the late 80s, early 90s, I think. 1990, is that there were these movies that pushed the limits of even R. And they were art house movies. And so the MPA came up with NC-17, no children under 17 allowed. And they started to put that on movies, and it became kind of it's an NC-17 movie, which means it's artistic, and I'm not held to social conventions. I can see a little something like this. NC-17 is all but irrelevant now. No movies are NC-17. In fact, let me give you a little breakdown of 2024 movies that were rated by the MPA in America. They rated 510 movies. Now, I'll talk about streaming here in a minute. But what we're talking about are movies that were meant to, in some form or fashion, be shown in a movie theater to the public. 510 films. Here was the breakdown. Of 510 movies, there were 13 G-rated movies, 90 PG movies, 127 PG-13 movies. I'm going to skip R. Not rated were 80 movies, basically because they were going to get NC-17. And so the theater set, or the company behind the movie, said, look, we're going to call it unrated because there's something to that. Stephen, of the 510 films, 199 were R. 199. Wow. So the old PG, which was this wide thing of, man, I don't know what I'm going to get in here. R has now become that. It's very wide. Real quick. You will see these ratings if you watch a movie on Netflix, Amazon, Disney, whatever, Hulu. You will see these ratings on the movie if it was rated by the MPA. And so if it was, let's say you're like, oh, let's watch Transformers tonight. Well, Transformers was in the theater. And so you're going to get a rating from the MPAA there on your Netflix thing. If the movie went directly to streaming to save a few bucks, Netflix, Amazon, these companies, they go, we don't need you. We will rate it ourselves. And so they've got their own rating system, right, which I actually feel like are a little more specific. There's, and Netflix has like TVY, TVY7, which is youth under seven, TVG, TVPG, TV 14, which is like PG 13. And then TVMA is just, that's the no man's land. That's kind of everything. And Amazon has a slightly different one.
But the good thing to me, the good thing about that mature audiences deal is that there's, when that comes up on the screen, there's always a listing of the reasons why. Is that right?
It is. And yet, I'll throw this out. Bing, bing, bing. This is a big headline. I have seen over and over again, I'll watch a movie on Amazon, and a lot of times it's MPA movies, and it'll go, here's all the things that are wrong with this movie. I've looked at that list before, and I've seen this movie before. I'm going, that's not true. Half of those things aren't.
Cigarette smoking in this movie?
Yeah, weird thing. So I'm with you, and yet I don't trust them. I've seen them be wrong way too often. Isn't it funny? Okay. Cigarette smoking became a thing at one point, that, which is weird, because part of me is like, give me a break. That's a stupid thing. But also, it kind of goes back to Hays Code thinking.
It does. It does.
Which is, if we glamorize smoking, we're going to cause people to pick up a bad habit. It's a weird relic.
Yeah.
That came back around. So anyway, that's the rating system. Again, Hays Code started off with this thing. They went, we need something that's different, a little more specific. Came with the MPA rating system. We're now in this third phase, which is an MPA rating system mixed with whatever the streamers put on those movies. So the rating system, though, it covers content. But for our purposes, and I think maybe what's most important, is that it doesn't cover worldview. And that's one of the interesting things about this. It covers content. Like, it's going to let you know, okay, it's going to have this in it. It's going to have this in it. It's going to have this in it. But it doesn't discuss, is this going to line up with a Christian worldview? Which, let me say here, I don't expect it to. I don't expect a bunch of pagans in Hollywood to go, now, does this line up with what Jesus says about humanity?
Sure, sure.
I don't expect them to do that. But it's where, maybe this is the most specific point I can make, it's where we as believers sometimes come up short, and we go, well, it's PG.
Yeah,
well, it's R. So it's either a yes or a no. But as we've said on another episode, there are G-rated movies that communicate, I would say, anti-biblical worldview ideas. And as we've seen and love to talk about, there are R-rated movies.
Yeah.
That also communicate somehow a Christian biblical worldview idea amidst all of this other stuff in there.
Yeah, of course. I mean, forgive me, but it makes me think, wouldn't it be great if somebody could help you and hold your hand through the watching of movies so that you know, is the themes and the truth of this movie something that I want to expose my family to? I think we need that. I mean, whether it's Rocket Pop Reviews, I mean, who am I to say don't watch this channel? Rocket Pop Reviews, friends who you can discuss these things openly and honestly with. I don't know if you wanted to name some of these movies, but to me, a classic movie, and this is just my personal thing, falling into this category is, I think this is 1998, going back to, there was a movie with Jeff Daniels called Pleasantville. Do you remember that movie?
Yes. I'm so glad you're bringing this movie up.
Okay. To me, that was a PG-13 movie. So I'm old enough to watch that movie. I'm watching Pleasantville, and there is such a clear worldview in this movie where they are celebrating anybody who is willing to go against a biblical worldview. Most of the movie's in black and white, but when you are willing to transgress against natural law, you turn into color.
And by the way, let me say, because this was the most offensive movie I saw in that era.
Yeah.
And it was a PG-13 movie. It wasn't just you went against the cultural norms. You went against something beyond, a real God.
The God idea. Of the universe is what it was. And so you get rewarded. These are the people who are experiencing the true life. These are the people who have insights. These are the people who are really living life to the full, according to this movie. You say, I'm glad you brought that up. Well, it stuck in my mind as I hate the messaging in that movie with such a burning fervor because it has a very pleasant and seductive lie that is attached to it. There's several movies that do this that we could reference, but that's an easy one because it's presented as it's set in the 50s. It's supposed to be this kind of, well, it's Pleasantville. So there's a kind of monotony to people who follow the rules. But if you're bold enough to do something crazy, you could get come to life. That's the kind of movie I want to circle in red at Rocket Pop and go, you must not play the game of taking this only by the rating system and going, well, therefore it's safe for the family. No, indeed.
Yes. Lately, I've been watching, I'm such a nerd. I've been watching on YouTube old Siskel and Ebert year-end movie review recaps.
A lot of people are doing that, Jeff. A lot of people are watching Siskel and Ebert, and I think that show is maybe 35 years old. That's so, right. Yeah, a lot of people are doing that.
So Siskel and Ebert were very famous movie review hosts back in the 90s. It was 70s, 80s, 90s, into the 2000s. And I was watching one of, it was the best of whatever year it was. I should know, 91, I think, 90. And the movie they liked the most was Goodfellas. Well, Goodfellas is a very challenging R-rated movie. There is a tremendous amount of violence in this movie. There is a tremendous amount of cursing in this movie. Like, it's wall-to-wall. I'm not recommending this movie. But I thought it was interesting. What the point they made was, as they were digesting this movie, and these are pagans, like these are not God followers, but the point they made about this movie was, we've seen so many, they loved it. They said, we've seen so many gangster movies. And they said, even like the Godfather movies that make you intrigued, oh, what an interesting world. He said, this movie shows these guys for what they really are. Petty people who can't stand ordinary lives and they want to take shortcuts and they all get what's coming to them.
Right.
I'm like, that's the Hays Code. That's the Hays Code. So to your point, we have a PG-13 movie that has kind of, oh, Reese Witherspoon's in it. And it's kind of cute with this Pleasantville with a detrimental, awful, destructive message. And then somehow you've got Goodfellas. I'm not recommending you go see Goodfellas, but even though it's got all this junk in it, there's some sort of moral core that we would agree with there.
I think of another example like that. It's an old favorite of ours, Jeff. It's a movie that teaches you're going to get it. You're going to get what you've got coming to you if you do evil. Hmm. And it's a good bro movie. It's rated R, Unforgiven. Clint Eastwood, Unforgiven. It's a fantastic movie with a moral truth that holds it together. And it's a rough watch. You know, it earned the R rating, but it's something that I wouldn't hesitate to watch with a 25-year-old, you know.
Every movie can be boiled down to some sort of moral message.
Of course.
Every movie can. And all you have to do is
something. You have to celebrate something.
It's got a moral core to it. And if you want to find out what it is, watch what's celebrated in The Hero or what is condemned in The Hero. And by hero, I just mean the main character.
Yeah.
Sometimes, a lot of times, you know, we could talk about like a Marvel movie. Well, what was celebrated was self-sacrifice. Well, us Jesus followers would go, hey, we like that. That's hit over and over again in the Bible. And sometimes, going back to Wicked, what was celebrated in that character, that main character, is not anything that we celebrate.
Right.
And that's the worldview part. So the Hays Code was a little more vague, but it talked about morality and worldview. Yes. And today we've got this rating system that's just, well, it has this, it doesn't have this. We kind of, as discriminating believers, need to have our own Hays Code, which is really the biblical worldview along with this MPA rating system that's going to help us out. And I think if we have that combined together, we're going to be discriminating viewers. We're going to shepherd our family into watching things that hopefully are actually really good and really impactful.
Yeah, Jeff, you're reminding me, just recently, I received a screener. It was an R-rated movie. I was thinking, in my little personal Hays Code, the comments that this movie makes about demons and the demon world, I might that might fit into my worldview. So I endured Nosferatu and I was thinking, where am I? And it's a rough movie. It's a Dracula. It's rough. And I thought to myself, this thing might end up good. Maybe the devil's going to get it, what he's got coming to him. And truth, I mean, if you've never read the book Dracula, it's actually super moral. It's great. Anyways, I thought maybe it happened. No, it didn't. But I was watching the movie with that haze code in my mind going like, maybe, well, this is rough. That's rough, but maybe. And yes, operating with that internal haze code that you talk about, that's got to be what we do every time a screen is on.
So hopefully you can use that internal haze code that's lined up with our biblical worldview, along with the MPA rating system. And hopefully you can be a discriminating viewer and help shepherd your family into watching something that isn't just good, but is like great. Anyway, thanks so much. We'll see you next time. Rocket Pop Reviews.
Thanks for listening to Rocket Pop Reviews. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share with your friends. See you next time for another family-friendly review.